Ladies and gentlemen, I want to apologize, you know what I mean, first and foremost, for not dropping the episode in like a billion years. That's my fault. To be quite honest, half of the time I was busy. The other half of the time I was being lazy. That's just the truth. Like Tuesday would come and I'd be like, ah, it's fine. You know what I'm saying? I ain't dropping a minute. They could find my other content elsewhere. Then other days would come. And I'd be like, I ain't got the energy tonight to do it. You know what I'm saying? So, again, I apologize. But, first of all, let me say, the podcast isn't going anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though I didn't drop an episode in like a minute, it's not like this podcast is ever going to expire. At least that is nowhere near in my purview right now. It's just a forever thing. That's just how I feel about it. Now, the goal in FY24 is to get back to dropping these weekly. And y'all might have heard me mention it before. Like, I don't batch my episodes. So I'm always, like, recording these things right up against the time that they're supposed to be released. That is changing, finally, as I work with my team, as I do my content planning, you know what I mean? I'm going to be able to do these things in advance. And then that way I know if I'm going to miss an episode, or I know what episode is going to drop, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just good to go, you know what I'm saying? With life getting in the way, I won't allow life to get in the way, you know what I'm saying? Because I'll be dropping these ahead of time. And I do not plan on missing any episodes. So let's say January. I forgot how many Tuesdays they are in January, but ahead of time, I'll already have that many episodes already planned and ready to go. All right, so let's get into this episode. Enough about, you know, what's been going on with me. This is all about you. You heard? Okay, so today's episode is about you not understanding truly what you have at your fingertips. The reason I want to put this out is because, even though I've been doing this for a billion years, right? Give or take. The other day, I'm doing a workshop, which, yo, you got to attend my workshops. I do them once a month. I got another one coming up on December 20th at 6 p.m. Eastern. Normally, I do them on Saturdays at 11 a.m., but this, because of the way things are working out in December and the holidays and all this other stuff, I'm going to do it on the 20th. Anyway, I'm doing my last workshop, and I'm showing feature after feature after feature, explaining to government contractors how they can manage their task orders inside of SharePoint. And I'm just going feature after feature after feature. And I had to keep repeating to the audience that was watching me do this that, yo, every single thing that I'm showing you is out of the box. I'm not doing anything special yet. And that's the thing. You can extend SharePoint like crazy. You could do mad things on top of it that's customized. But we don't want to go there. That's for people who now are leaving regular end user and trying to become like a super user or a power user, whatever you want to call them. We're not there yet. That's not what this show is about. This is me just introducing it to you and letting you know the basic things you can do. And the reason why I have so much content to do that with is because, yo, there's so many things you can do out of the box with SharePoint. It's like just hitting you in the face left and right with all these things you could do, and there's no customization even started yet. So let me walk you through kind of like what I did in the workshop, but I'm going to see if I can bring a visual to it here. So if you're a government contractor, you win a contract. When you win that contract, on that contract, you have a task order or multiple task orders. And then under those task orders, you have tasks. You know what I mean? So the example that I gave in the workshop was, yo, let's say that you manufacture appliances or you sell appliances, and a car dealership, you went into a car dealership one day and you saw that, you know, they had people sitting in a waiting room, and when you're sitting in a waiting room, they had these big, beautiful TVs that you could sit and watch. The person who went to that waiting room, they work at a car dealership themselves. So they're like, oh my God, I went to this other car dealership. I saw that they were in the waiting room watching these big, beautiful TVs. We need to have that too. We only got one TV. It's outdated. It's stupid looking. We need to replace it and make our waiting room just like this. So you call up a vendor. Hey, you sell appliances? Okay, cool. So you work at that car dealership. you work out a deal with the what are they called? You work out a deal with the company, the vendor who is gonna supply you with these TVs, because you got car dealerships all across America. You want to put TVs in all of your waiting rooms. So you do the deal, you sign this contract, and a task order on this contract could be that you have to staff all of their waiting rooms with TVs, or fill all of their waiting rooms with X amount of TVs. That's a task order. So you could call that the waiting room update, or waiting room upgrade, whatever. Let's call that the task order. Now, under that task order, you have multiple tasks, right? So you got to go do a survey of each of the rooms, go find out, you know, what the space looks like, how many people do they normally get as far as traffic, what type of TV plan do they want to get, whatever, all that type of stuff. That's all the tasks that you would have to manage. Now, depending on how long this is going to take, there's going to be deliverables that you have to provide to the car dealership on a regular basis. So let's say this is a 3-month job, and this is the project you're handling. The dealership might say, listen, every 2 weeks we want a report that tells us X, Y, and Z, right? So that counts as a deliverable. That's a thing that you have to give them. That's a part of this agreement that you signed, the contract. Every 2 weeks, provide me these numbers. Need a status update, right? So what I just explained is a contract that you have that someone has signed with a car dealership, and the contract says one task order is staff all of the waiting rooms with TVs, and then we talk about the tasks that you would have to take to, you know, to accomplish this. We talked about a deliverable and other deliverables too that you might have on there. And also we need to talk about, personnel. So how many people is this going to take for you to do? Now, under normal circumstances, you can do this on your own, but in this case, you might need to team with an electrician or an electric company, I guess, who can provide you 2 or 3 electricians to come and hook up some new outlets, because you're going to be, you know, you're going to be staffing them with some, I mean, giving them some more TVs. Then they have more, they have less outlets than we will provide TVs. So we need to, you know, up the amount of outlets they have. And we're going to call any electricians to do that. So we're not electricians. We are an appliance company, but we will team up with some electricians in another company, and we're going to put them on certain tasks. So that's like the gist of it, right? Where you got a task order, staff all these all these showrooms. Why do I keep saying showroom? Staff all of these waiting rooms with these TVs. It's going to take all of these tasks to do. As you complete those tasks, there are some deliverables that are based off of those tasks. And then you team up with another company or companies, and there's going to be personnel that you have to, you know, align with to accomplish this. Now, you could have another task order that maybe it's not about the TVs. They find out you do appliances, you do refrigerators, and you do vending machines. Hey, the other task order is specific to refrigerators. We need to update all the refrigerators in all of our offices. So that could be another task order, a whole new set of tasks, whole new set of personnel, whole new set of deliverables, all types of stuff, right? So that is how I want you to think of task orders and tasks. And who I'm really talking to is non-government contractors, because government contractors, they know what task orders and tasks and deliverables and personnel and all that stuff is. But I'm also talking to the person who is not a government contractor, but they know that they win contracts. So I'm trying to, you know, line it up for you as well. So now we're all on the same page. We know what the contract is, the task order, the tasks, the deliverables, the personnel, right? Now, if you want to manage all of this, what tool do you use to track all of this stuff? Or tools, I should say. Highly likely, you're going to jump into Excel. This is what I do not recommend. I don't recommend that you jump into Excel. That's not the way to go. Can you do that? I mean, yes, of course you can. Whatever. Put all the information that you're tracking inside of Excel. I don't recommend it. What I recommend, obviously, is a SharePoint. I recommend that you use SharePoint. Now, let me walk you through what I would do here. So stay with me. Again, we don't have the technology in front of me. In front of us, we're only listening to me speak. I actually have a YouTube video about this, though. So if you want to see it in action, I'll link you to it in the comments. But let me walk you through this real quick. So you go to Microsoft Teams and you create a team. And when you create this team, let's say that you call it, let's say the dealership is like Ford. So you call this Ford dealership TVs, or you could just call it Ford dealership agreement, Ford dealership contract. I don't know. Whatever your company normally does to name your stuff, you just name your teams this, your Microsoft team, name it this. So you go and create the team. Now, when you create this team, you have the ability to upload documents to this team so you can share it with the, you know, collab with them, collab on the documents with the team. You have the ability to chat. There's a whole chat section. It looks just like social media. You should know by now, if you use Microsoft Teams, what that looks like, right? Then you have some other features inside of this Microsoft Teams. But the number one thing I want you to know about is, or the couple things I want you to know about is that you could host documents here and you could chat with other team members. And you can obviously add other team members to the team so that they could collaborate too. Now, you name it Ford dealership agreement, whatever. On the back end of that Teams, you automatically get a SharePoint site. This is the SharePoint site that I tell you to go and edit and update so that you can collaborate on this site with. This is the way I would do it, or the way I did do it. You create a SharePoint list called task orders. When you create the SharePoint list called task orders, you put the details of the task orders in that list. So that you put the name of the task order, you know, what the status is, what you plan to do with it, blah, 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 whatever. Like you literally what you would have put in a spreadsheet, except you put it in a SharePoint list. Call it task orders. Where you're doing this is on a website. It's a literal website. So it's not like some Word document or some spreadsheet. This is a literal website with a URL inside of your Microsoft 365 suite. And the first navigation link that you have put on the left-hand side is called task orders. When you click on task orders, you see a web page with a SharePoint list that shows you the details of the task orders. Next, let's create another list. We call this list task. When you look at the task list, it's a list of tasks that are connected to the task orders. So let's say you have a list of 10 tasks inside of this task list. 7 of them could be connected to task order 1, and the other 3 could be connected to task order 2. Automatically, this is something that you do not get on a spreadsheet. This, again, remember, is a website. So you're sending everybody to a website so that they can access this stuff. You're not sending them to a document library to go fish through and find spreadsheets that track all this information. You're sending them to a website, and they're clicking on navigation links, just like you would on a regular website, to get to these pages that show them this information. So you got your task order list, and you got your task list for this TV thing that we're doing here. The next list is deliverables. So this now is a document library like Google Drive or like Dropbox. This is a document library where you put documents in there and then you can connect them to your tasks. So you could say these deliverables belong to this task. So let's say one of the deliverables was that 2-week report, right? Every 2 weeks, you need the dealership has asked you to send a report that shows you, that shows them X, Y, and Z. So now you're dealing with a website that has given you the ability to have a list of task orders, the details of these task orders, giving you a list of tasks, the details of these tasks, and now a library filled with deliverables. And one of those deliverables is a report that is connected to one of those tasks. Now, we are creating another list. This one is called personnel. This is a list of people that we show the details of. So what's their name? What credentials do they have? What company do they work for? Do they have a security clearance? Do they have this, that, and the third, and any other notes that we want to put on top of them? But then also, we can connect them to tasks. So remember the task list that we made. We can say, oh, well, this person is working this task. This person, this electrician, is working this task. This person at the company, our company, is working this task, so on and so forth. You get to do that. And again, I'm talking about a website. I'm not talking about spreadsheets. I'm talking about a website. So this website now, again, you land on this website and it has a home page. The home page has buttons that lead to all of these things that I'm talking about. But in addition to these buttons, you know, the buttons that say task orders, tasks, deliverables, whatever, there's also links on the left-hand side that lead to the same thing. And it's good to have this because, like, if you are viewing this on mobile, the buttons on the page are easier to press than trying to fish through a menu on the left-hand side. So that's just something, again, you're going to have to see the visual to understand really truly what I'm talking about. But the point is, you have this on a website, which you know how that is. You spin up a business, it's annoying to even get a website built for anything in the commercial world, but SharePoint provides it in 2 seconds. Matter of fact, when you create your Microsoft team, it automatically creates the website on the back end. So there's no crazy work for you to do. The website is just there after you create a Microsoft team. Now, let's say you also have to have an issue tracker because, you know, things might happen. Every time I'm recording this podcast, my phone goes off. I'm so sorry. Let me. Okay, there we go. So now every project is going to have issues, right? Like things are going to come up. So let's say you have an issue tracker. You want to put this on the site where normally, what would you do? You would probably put it in a spreadsheet. But here's what you could do. You could, on the front page of your website, put a button that says issue tracker. You click on the button that says issue tracker, and now you go to a page. This page is a big, nice, beautiful looking page, picture, whatever you want to put on there. And it says, this is the issue tracker. We, for the duration of this project, are going to be tracking issues. Please put them here. Something like that, whatever. Click the button below. There's a button on that page that now allows you to press. You press that button, it opens up a form. In this form, you put the issue details, and then you hit submit. So now your details have been saved inside of yet another SharePoint list. Also, on that same page that, you know, where you open up that issue tracker form, there's another button that says something like view all issues. There's another button that says view my issues. So you're basically working inside of an application at this point that allows you to track issues. And that is one that, again, you hit the button, it opens up a form, you put your information in there. If you just came there and you're like, yo, wait, I want to look at my issues, see what the status is, you can do that too. Also, someone who is managing these issues, like the project manager, can turn on an alert that says every time someone submits an issue in the issue tracker, I want to get an automatic email. I want to be notified. They can do that. In addition to this issue tracker, you know what else you could have on the site? A risk register. Because what? Every project has risk, and you're going to need to track your risks, right? Now, cheap plug here, I do have a risk register course that teaches you how to build a risk register in SharePoint. Why? Because it's better than doing it in, yet again, another spreadsheet. That's just my opinion, but my opinion is based on a billion years of working with people. So take my word for it. You want to take that course. And the price of that course is going up in the new year. So you want to do that. Okay. On this site, you click a button on your homepage that says risk register. You can go to the risk register. Once again, have another page that explains what the risk register is all about. And then a button that allows you to submit a risk and put it into a form. In addition, that same page, if you don't want to submit a new risk, instead, you've already submitted some risks. You now want to view my risks. So the risk that you are the owner of, you want to go and view them. Or there's another button that says view all risks. So you don't want to just want to see your joints. You want to see all of the risks. That button is also on the site. You have the ability to do that. Now, let me bring it all home here with the big news. Everything, like literally everything that I just talked about, is all out of the box. Microsoft Teams, of course, obviously you already know about that. That's out of the box. The website that you build that came with your Teams, out of the box. All of those SharePoint lists with all of those features, out of the box. You being able to create a form for your risk register, a form for your issue tracker, and a form for anything else that you want to be tracking, out of the box. Getting notified when somebody puts in a new risk, getting notified when somebody puts in an issue, out of the box. Zero things have been customized at this point. And if you knew what you could customize and how much the next level you could take it to, it would blow your mind. Here's another thing how you could upgrade, right? So let's say that report that they said they want. Now, a good client, well, what my favorite client says, listen, I don't care how you give it to me, the report, this is just what I need to see. So what that helps me do is now I'm not stuck with a tool. They're not saying, oh, yeah, I need you to bring me a XYZ with this information. They just say, I want to have this information, bring it to me. So that leaves me now to make my own report and bring it to them. I could build something very basic in SharePoint to report this information, or I could connect to Power BI, which is another tool inside of the Microsoft 365 suite, build that report, and now I have a report that I could just have constantly updating itself. And now when the 2 weeks comes, every 2 weeks, I go to the report, I export it maybe into a PDF, and I send it and I say, here's the report. Or I hop on a call with them and I say, all right, listen, let me show you what's going on, and let them interactively see the report. So I'm clicking on things that they're asking about, whatever. This is what you could do inside of the suite. And that Power BI, that is a step up because you have to get a license to do Power BI, but still, it's all inside of the same suite. But everything else that I was talking about, it's all out of the box. Can you imagine that if you're paying monthly for a tool, or I'm sorry, for a suite, because you get a suite of tools, tons of tools, really good tools. One of them is SharePoint. Right? Just one tool in that whole entire suite is SharePoint. And that one tool can do so many things out of the box. Like a lot. Everything I just explained. And what is that? You know what that is? That's just that's a simple thing that solves a big problem, which is a one-stop shop for your project. That's what you want. How beautiful is that? You know what I'm saying? Like I can't say enough about how dope that is. Now, did I introduce myself? Okay, listen, I'm Thurman Trotman. This is the SharePoint Help Desk. Thank you so much for listening. this show does normally, it used to drop every Tuesday night. I think I'm going to stick to Tuesdays in the new year. For now, that's the plan. And like I said, every Tuesday, but you know, I had this hiatus where I've been going hard. I've been doing workshops every month. I've been still doing my thing on LinkedIn. I've just been ramping up. But 2024 is about to be even crazier. Now, listen, I do have a segment that I do called LinkedIn Love. And maybe I'll kind of shift this around the way that I normally do it. But I want to do my LinkedIn Love segment. And the way I'm doing it right now is that I'm not doing a post. I think normally I would do a post, right? Or a person. But this time I'm doing a person. I got to give a shout out to Kelly Vowels. Because Kelly reached out to me. I think she said she found me on TikTok and then, you know, jumped over to LinkedIn and we chatted in the DMs. But first of all, follow me on TikTok. I'm definitely over there doing my thing and I'm about to start ramping that up as well. Anyway, she found me with chatting on LinkedIn and she was like, yo, you know what I'm saying? What's good with your podcast? I used to listen to this joint on the way to work. Don't tell me you stopped doing it, whatever, whatever. And yo, I can't lie. That made me mad happy. You know what I'm saying? Like the vision of someone who found value in what I was doing, who like is driving on their way to work and they got the radio on and you know what I'm saying? And my voice is coming through their radio and they're listening to me while they're driving to work. Like that's dope. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Kelly and shout out to anybody else who, you know, gets value from this podcast. If you listen to this on a regular, make sure you shout me out, you know, shoot me a message, whatever, say like, yo, I like it. Throw me some ideas, all of that. Even though, I'm ramping up in 2024, you know what I'm saying? So a whole lot of ideas is coming out. But that's my LinkedIn Love shout out. You're going to see the link to that in the notes. Make sure that you check out my risk register before the price goes up on that. I would like to say that the people who take that course, they finish it. Like, I get to see the progress that people are making in the course. And I looked the other day, and a bunch of people have gone to 100%. And I'm like, yo, that's what's up. And I built my course like that on purpose, where the very first, like, 25 minutes, you get exactly what you came for. And then every other video after that is just, like, to boost up with what I've already shown you. So shout out to everybody taking that course. I'll put the link in the comments to that too. And then, I want to do a masterclass in the new year where I actually walk you through how to manage your contracts inside of, what is this called? And manage your contracts inside of SharePoint. So that's another thing that I'm doing. It's a literal, like, live class. Like, we'll connect on a Saturday, do 2 hours, then do another Saturday, do 2 hours, and then hopefully do another Saturday and do 2 more hours. More details on that soon, but the little bit of details that I have on it right now, I'm going to put inside of the show notes. Click that link, see if you want to check it out. Matter of fact, you don't even have to pay for it. Tell your company to pay for it, because when you come back from taking that course, you're going to be super valuable to your company. I guarantee it. That's the guarantee I'll put on there. Well, you got to take the advice. Anyway, thanks so much for coming through. Again, my name is Thurman. This is the SharePoint Help Desk Podcast. I'll talk to you in the next episode.